If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 26. We're going to look at 15 verses tonight. And you can put your ribbon there. We're going to, if you don't have a Bible, we're going to put it up on the monitor and we're going to walk through it. The subject that we began last week is entitled Just a Dime, Just a Dime. We're talking about tithing. This is lesson number two. Now, the tithe we talked about last week is a thing. Will you say that? The tithe is a thing.
The tithe is a thing.
We talked about that. The tithe is a thing. And we answered three questions. And I'm going to run really quick through these three questions we answered. But those of you that this is your first time, now I'm going to share with you how you can go online and get what we shared last week. But there were three questions that we were answering last week. We are answering, what is the tithe? The tithe is 10%. The tithe is one dime out of every dollar. The tithe is a tenth part of our increase. We said, secondly, what should we do with the tithe? We should give the tithe to our local church. It should be the church where God has directed us to join, and it should be a place where we're being fed spiritually. And then the third question was, why does God instruct believers to tithe? For two main reasons: to finance his work in the earth, and to bless his people. Now, that's a short summary of everything that we taught last week. But tonight, I want to talk about tithing. Tithing. The tithe is a thing. It's a thing. But tithing is an act. Tithing is an action. Now, listen at this, and I want to kind of set this up before we get into the text, because we're going to be looking at an Old Testament text. And oftentimes Christians, especially Bible talk Christians, they say, well, that's the Old Testament. That's the Old Testament. Okay, well, listen very carefully at what I'm getting ready to say, and then we're going to get into the verses in just a moment. Romans chapter 15, verse 4, here's what it says. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, this is the Apostle Paul. He said, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience of the scriptures and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So the scriptures right there tells us that even though the old covenant, the Old Testament was incomplete, and it is completed in Jesus and the new covenant. We're given a new covenant. The scripture teaches that there are some things that we're supposed to learn from the Old Testament. Now, listen at this carefully. Both Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul would take principles out of the Old Testament and apply those principles to New Testament realities. I'm going to do that tonight. Now listen at an example. Listen at an example. John chapter 3, verse 14, Jesus said this. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that's an Old Testament event, he says, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now what Jesus did there is he reached back into the Old Testament, brought up an Old Testament event. The Israelites were bitten by snakes, and God instructed Moses to put a brass snake up on a pole. And when he held the pole up, everyone that looked at the brass snake on the pole was healed. Now, Jesus took that Old Testament event and he applied to his death on the cross. The Apostle Paul often did that, and I'm a student of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, when you read his writings, he always took out Old Testament principles, Old Testament events, Old Testament personalities, and applied it to New Testament reality. For example, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. How many have ever heard that text? Well, that's Old Testament. What Paul did, he said he took the Old Testament practice of animal sacrifices. The animal sacrifice was killed wholly, and he applied it to a New Testament reality. We presenting the whole of our lives to God. So that's what I'm going to do tonight. When we look at Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 1 through 15, we're going to look at the whole text. I'm going to explain things from the text, and then I'm going to come back and then summarize the text. And then I want you to learn how to take your tithe and tithe your tithe. Not just drop it in the bucket, not just write it out and send it. I want you to make tithing a part of your everyday, or whenever you're giving, a part of your worship. And it's going to change your life. It's going to transform your giving. It's going to transform your life. So let's begin to look at Deuteronomy chapter 26. And we're going to walk through the first 15 verses. Now watch this. Watch this. Deuteronomy. I'm gonna read from my text because I got notes in my Bible. Anybody y'all writing your Bible? How many of y'all writing your Bible? Oh, you know, this is the millennial generation. We don't have Bibles anymore. I know most of us don't have Bibles. We have cell phones and we have iPads and we have all that. Well, I write in my Bible. You know, I write in my Bible. And I hope if you still have a Bible, that sometime you write in your Bible. So look at what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 1. It says, "And it shall be when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possess it and dwell there." So here's what he's saying. When you come into the promised land, he's talking to Israel. He says, when you come into the promised land, the land that flowing with milk and honey, he says, this is what I want you to do. OK, to us, we don't have a land like that, a physical land. But when we receive Christ, we step into the kingdom of God. So when we step into the kingdom of God, that is a principle that when we worship God without giving, it should be worship and not just dropping money in the bucket. Now, look what he says in verse 2. He said that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall bring it, put it into a basket, and shall go to the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. So he says, take your giving. And he says, go to the place that the Lord has chosen. Now, this is something that every Christian has to understand. Every believer has a place called there. There is a place that God wants every Christian to connect to, a local church. And the Bible says that God says, I'll give you pastors after my heart that will feed you with knowledge and understanding. So your assignment as a Christian is to be asking God, where is my local church? Where is my pastor? Because when you get there, wherever your church is, your pastor, there will be a connection between you and your pastor, okay? And then you will bring something to that environment that that church did not have, okay? And you will be a part of the vision of that local church. So it is critical that you go where God chooses for you to go and not just join somewhere because your mama joined or your daddy joined or you've been going there all your life. No, you always should ask God, where should I go to church? Who is my pastor? Where should I be connected? Because whoever is leading that church is going to have an impact on your life. Whoever you sit under from week to week to week is going to impact your decision making. Not only that, you have a destiny. There's something that God has ordained for you to accomplish in your life. And wherever he chooses for you to go to church, there's going to be a connection between that ministry gift and your destiny. And your destiny. So he says, take your tithe to the place where the Lord has chosen. Look at what it says in verse 3. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days. Now watch this. And say to him, say to the priest, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come into the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers and for to us to give. Now he says, take what your tithe. And he says, take it to the priest. Well, we don't have a priest like that, like under the old covenant. But we have a high priest and his name is Jesus. Now, next week when we get in a little further along, I'm going to show you from the scriptures that Jesus Christ is our high priest. So when we're taking our tithes, we're not taking our tithe to the church. We're not giving our tithe to the church. We're giving our tithe to Jesus, and we're trusting him to worship God with our tithe. Now, notice what it says in verse 4. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord. And thou shalt speak and say, now this is the second time the mouth is using. The mouth is used. You're going to say something to the priest. And this is the second time it says you're going to speak and say something. Now watch this. Thou shalt speak, verse 5, and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a nation great and mighty and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God, our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with great terribleness, with signs and with wonders. And he has brought us into this place and hath given us this land, even the land that floweth with milk and with honey. Now, what the tither is doing, the tither is speaking about how God delivered them, how they were led down into Egypt. They entered into Egyptian bondage for 430 years, and then God brought them out, and he brought them out into a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, the principle is that all of us, how many of you are born again? How many are you saved? Okay. At one point in your existence, you were in the kingdom of darkness. Okay. When you invited Jesus into your life, you were transferred out of that kingdom. And now you're into the kingdom of God. You're in a whole different kingdom. That is the spiritual application that now, but you want to rehearse that in the mind of God. You want to rehearse that. That's going to do something for you. Now look at what it says in verse 10. And I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm going to show you how to do it. It's not going to be hard. Look at verse 10. And behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hath given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God. Now look at this verse, verse 10. It says, and worship before the Lord thy God. And do what?
Worship.
Okay, now listen at me. Tithing is a form of worship. Tithing is what?
A form of worship.
Tithing is what?
A form of worship.
Tithing is what?
A form of worship.
What is tithing?
A form of worship.
Tithing is a form of worship. Tithing is not dropping money in a bucket. Tithing is not just sending your money online. Tithing is a form of worship. That's what you have to get in your mind. Tithing is worship. Tithing is worship. Tithing is worship. Tithing is worship. It is not a religious practice. It is worship. You are worshiping God. You are worshiping God. You are what? Worshiping God. If anybody asks you what the preacher taught at Bible study, what are you going to say? Tithing is what? What is tithing? What is tithing? Okay, it's worship. It is worship. That's the whole intent of the tithing was not just to throw some money out. You're worshiping God. It is worship. It is worship. Tithing is what? Worship. You're going to hear my voice. You're going to hear my voice. When you go to sleep at night, you're going to hear my voice. Tithing is worship. When you go to sleep, you're going to say, tithing is worship. Every time you write out a check, you're going to be thinking, tithing is worship. Every time you give in the offering, you're going to be thinking, tithing is what? Worship. It's not dropping money in the bucket. It is what?
Worship.
Now watch this. Look at what it says in verse 11. And thou shalt rejoice in the every good thing which the Lord thy God has given unto thee and unto your house and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. Now look at verse 12. 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 When thou hast made an end of what?
Tithing.
End of what?
Tithing.
End of what?
Tithing.
Now watch this. Tithing what?
All of the
Tithing what? Now look carefully. The tithe is a thing. Tithing is an action. Is an act. Is an act of worship. Now watch this. Watch this. Verse 13. It says, then thou shalt say, that's the next, we keep saying say something, say it. Thou shalt say, before the Lord God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house. Notice that word hallowed things out of my what? The NIV says, I have removed from my house the hallowed thing. The word hallowed there means dedicated things. Means holy things. It means things that are set aside for a sacred purpose. Something that is not to be put to common use. The tithe, that 10%, scripture says, is God's. Okay? From God's perspective, when he looked at that tithe, he not only sees something that belongs to him, but he sees something that is sacred. It is something that is holy. It is something that is set apart. It is something that should not be used for common use. Now, the NIV says, I've taken it out of my house. I've taken it out of my house. Now, look at what it says in verse 14. It says, I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead, but I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God and have done according to all that thou hast commanded thee. Now, I want you to look at three things here, and I studied those three things out. The tither said three things. He says that I have not eaten thereof in my mourning. And I looked up the word mourning, and the word mourning means emptiness, nothingness, and it means futility. It means having worked and not produced anything. So the tither says, listen, even though I had worked and hadn't accomplished anything, I didn't just go back and take the tithe. Okay? He said, I didn't just go back and take the tithe. He said, I didn't eat the tithe in my mourning. Mourning is when something has been separated, something has been lost. He says, even though my work were not fruitful, I didn't go back and take the tithe to replace what my activities didn't produce. That's what he's talking about. He said that I didn't use the tithe for an unclean use. In other words, I didn't take the tithe and use it for something common. You understand that? See, when you take something that's sacred and you use it for something that it's not supposed to be used for, you turn it into something that's unclean. And then he says that I've not given the tithe to the dead. People ask all the time, you know, I get some feedback from people. They say, well, am I supposed to give my tithe to the local church? And I say, yes, you should give your tithe to the local church. But it should be somewhere where you're being spiritually fed. A lot of people are putting money in environments and they're not being fed. They're not being fed. You're not supposed to give to what you're not being fed. Not only that, a part of the guideline that protects you is you're supposed to be looking and seeing whether or not the ministry or the church is producing life. Is it producing life? Are you being fed? Is it producing life? That's a part of your responsibility. If you're being fed and it's producing life, then you can sow your tithe into there. But if you're not being fed spiritually and the minister is not producing any kind of life, then you would be sowing into bad ground. Now look at what it says in verse 15, and then I'm going to summarize this for you and then open it up for questions. Verse 15, the tither says, look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel and the land which thou hast given us as thou sweareth unto thy fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Now, it is obvious when I read the text that God has made a commitment to bless the tither. But the tither also made a connection between their tithe and that blessing. Some people say, well, I just give and I don't really care about receiving anything. I think that is, let me see how to be sweet with that. How to be sweet with that? That's not right. Just say it's not right. Okay. That's about as sweet as I can go with that. To give and not expect to receive is not right. That's what Pete says. That's the sweetest I can do with that. To give and not expect to receive. Listen very carefully to me. And we're going to look at the promises. You didn't write the Bible. You didn't put the promise in there. God's the one who said he will bless you. So for me to not expect to receive based on what I'm being obedient to is not right. That's what she said. It's not right. And that's the best I can do with that. Okay. Once we start a church and I'm the pastor, I'm going to say it a little stronger. I'm going to say that a little stronger. But right now, it's just not right. Okay. It's just not right. Okay. All right. Now, listen. Let's kind of summarize this. And I'm going to share with you how to do what I'm talking about tonight. Listen at this. Let's summarize this. The tithe is a thing. It's what you're giving. Tithing is an act of worship. It's an act of worship. Watch this. And it involves the mouth. We looked at verse 13. Tithing involves your mouth. Now listen at this very carefully. It is possible to give the tithe and not tithe the tithe. And I submit to you that that's what many Christians are doing. I submit to you that many Christians are just giving. They're not tithing. I submit to you that many Christians give every week, don't say nothing to God. Don't open their mouth to him. They send their monies online. Don't say anything to them. It's possible to give and not tithe the tithe. Now listen carefully. Tithing the tithe keeps the believer in an attitude of gratitude. When you tithe the tithe, it keeps you God-focused. Not church-focused, not pastor-focused, not preach-focused. It keeps you God-focused. Now, there are certain things, and I'll give you an acronym. There are certain practices that God has given us to do to keep us in remembrance of him. For example, water baptism. Every time you go to a water baptismal service and that person is put in that water, it's a symbol of dying with Christ. When that person is pushed under that water, it's a symbol of being buried with Christ. When that person is brought back up out of the water, it is symbolic of being resurrected with Christ. So every time you go to a baptismal service, God wants you to be reminded of the redemptive work of Christ. Communion is the same thing. Every time you take communion, that bread represents the broken body of Jesus Christ. That wine or juice or whatever, it represents the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So every time you take communion, it's a constant reminder of God and the redemptive work of Christ. So it is with our giving. So it is with our tithing. If we do it right, If we do it right, it will keep us God conscious. It will keep us conscious of the goodness of God. Now, I came up with an acronym, TAC. T-A-C. Some of you taking notes, write that down. T-A what? C. T. Now, listen. It's not a rule. It's not something you gotta do. If you got your own way, it's fine. But I'm trying to give you an idea of how I do this. Tithing, the tithe, should be done before the release. You're releasing it when you drop it in the offering bucket, doing whatever the giving time, or you're going online, okay? Tithing, in my opinion, should be done at home. It is something that you should wait till you get to church to do. You should think about what you're going to be giving to God, and just for a few minutes. It's not that difficult. TAT. T stands for Thanksgiving. The A stands for acknowledgement. C stands for claiming. That's what you're going to be doing. That's what you're going to be doing. You're going to take your tithe before you send it online or before you get to church. And you're going to take that check or whatever it is, and you're going to talk to God. You're going to thank Him for all the good things in your life. And it's going to be very personal, because what's happening in my life may be totally different than what's happening in your life. I'm going to say, God, I just want to thank you today that I'm getting ready to tithe. I'm getting ready to give this tithe today. And I just want to thank you for all the good things that you've blessed me with. I thank you, God, for Pete, and I thank you for my children. And God, I just thank you for my health, and I thank you for my job. I thank you for all the things you've blessed me with. I'm so grateful to you. God, I thank you for being faithful to me. I hadn't done everything right, God, but you've been very faithful to me, and I thank you so very much for that. And God, I want to acknowledge you today. I want to acknowledge that you're the source. I want you to know that this is what I'm giving today, but I couldn't have gotten it if you hadn't have given me the strength to work. You hadn't given me the mind to think. You're really the source of everything that I have. And I want to acknowledge that you're my source. And Jesus, you're my high priest. And I'm bringing this tithe to you today, Jesus. And I thank you for worshiping the Father with it. And now, Father, I just want to claim your promises. I thank you. You said that you would open the windows of heaven. I thank you for the provision that you promised. I thank you for the protection that you promised. In Jesus' name. That's good. How long did that take? How long did that take? How long did that take? One long. Yours won't sound like mine, because you got other things to be thankful for. But you're going to always thank him, and you're going to always acknowledge him. And then you're going to always claim the promises of protection and provision, because that's what he promised, to protect you and provide. Just think, if that's what we did before we gave, think about it. Every week we will be saying, God, thank you. God, you're my source. Jesus, you're my high priest. It will keep you full of gratitude, and it keep your God focus. I'm convinced beyond a shadow of doubt, this right here, this is what we're doing. And a lot of times we don't do it till we get to church. You know, let me write this check out. What is that? I mean, what is it? I mean, what's that? We don't say nothing. We don't say nothing to him. We don't tithe the tithe, we give it. Tithing is worship. It's a time you're going to spend with God. And you're not going to be looking to a preacher. You're not going to be looking to a church. Jesus is going to be your high priest. And you're going to be expecting the blessings to come from him, not from the church, not from the preacher. You're taking your money to Jesus. And you're saying, Jesus, I claim that blessing. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Does it make sense to you? Does it make sense to you? How many see that? How many can see that that's different? Can you see that that's different? I'm telling you, I'm convinced that it is, there's too many people tithing and not receiving.
That's right.
There's too many people giving and not receiving because it's not really worship. It's like going to Las Vegas. We do God like Las Vegas. We go down there and pull it in. We put something in there and we pull a slot. Now, bless me, Lord. You know, bless me. But we don't say nothing to him. We don't say nothing to Jesus.